Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And good morning. Bill Handel here on a Saturday. It's our last hour of the legal show, although I'll continue with phone calls off the air after the show. I'll explain that to you a little bit later on. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. That's till 2, and then at 2 o'clock this afternoon, it'll be Neil Saavedra. Neil with the Foodie Show. And coming in at 6 tonight, Mo Kelly, 8 o'clock tonight, it's Brian Suit. So that's our Saturday lineup here on KFI. Phone numbers, 800-520-1534. That's the number to call. We do have a couple of three lines open. It's been pretty full all morning long. I mean, there are some days where I have to play you horrible music to get you to call, and then there are other days where the lines are literally jammed for all 3 hours. So today's been pretty jammy. Numbers, I think, what, 1, 2, 3 phone calls, three lines open. 800-520-1534. This is Handel on the Law, marginal legal advice where I tell you, you have absolutely no case. Let me start with California. California is the bluest of the blue states that you can ever imagine. Hard to believe, but there are actually some state senators in California that are Republicans. Not many, but there are. So one of them, Melissa Melendez out of Lake Elsinore, she has proposed legislation intended to curb cancel culture. And how is she doing this? Well, she is adding to the list of protected classes, and I'm talking about race, gender, religious creed. Those are protected under California's anti-discrimination law. What she is adding is political affiliation. Why? Because the concept here is that Republicans in the state of California are ostracized, they're stigmatized, they're not hired, they're blackballed, which, by the way, exactly the case. I have many friends in the entertainment business, actors, directors, etc. Any one of them that claims to be or says that he or she is a conservative Republican has a very big problem getting hired. It's just, you know, when people talk about California being a super liberal state, no kidding. So this state senator is saying, okay, enough of that, because now someone says, I am a conservative Republican and you didn't give me a job because you say I'll never hire a Republican. You've just discriminated against me illegally. It's the same as if you were not hiring because of my race or gender or my religious beliefs. And this is the first bill that I've ever heard. And it has to amend the education code and require bullying. Also, it includes bullying on the basis of a student's political beliefs. You can't do that, although I think any kind of bullying is illegal in the schools, but it doesn't have to be specific. But I have to tell you, this is fascinating that we have a situation where cancel culture has to be fought and political beliefs have to be protected. Incidentally, as crazy as it sounds, you know what? I truly believe there's plenty of discrimination based on political beliefs. And in California, if you're Republican, you're discriminated against, for sure. Okay, let's do it. Yeah, Norman. Hello, Norman. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, yes, sir.
So I signed a contract on January 29th. And on February 2nd, I told them that I no longer wanted to go with their service and that I wanted to cancel and requested a refund for $1,300. And I got an email back saying after several weeks, on February 18th, and said that they're going to unfortunately enforce the full amount of the agreement.
Hold on. What exactly the agreement that you signed? I'm a little confused.
Okay, so it was an agreement it's a service contract for I run a plumbing outfit, and they were going to use, it's a dispatching software. So it's a monthly fee, but it's $1,000 onboarding, you know, $350.
Okay, so did they onboard it?
No.
Okay, they didn't do anything. So when you... Okay, so you sent them an email saying, I hereby cancel the contract, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and they did nothing?
Correct.
They're still keeping your money... And they're still keeping your money. Weeks later, they're saying, unfortunately, we can't return your money.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough. Where are they located?
They're in San Diego, from what I understand.
Okay, so they're and where are you located?
In California, in Riverside.
Oh, that's close enough. I would sue them in small claims court. They're going to argue we have a contract. A contract is a contract. You're saying, yeah. I canceled the contract, and guess what? At that point, you agreed to the cancellation because you didn't do anything for me. You didn't onboard any of the software.
Exactly.
And so your argument is, by them not doing anything or telling you we're prepared to do it, here we go, we have a contract. I'm assuming they didn't do that when you sent the email canceling the contract, correct?
One more time.
Okay. When you sent them the cancellation notice, did they reply by saying, we're prepared to do it, we're going to onboard, you can't cancel? Did any of that happen?
No, not at all.
Okay, I think you got them. It's a small claims court case, and they're going to argue you're the one that's breaching, you signed, and that's their argument, and you're going to argue, hey, you accepted my cancellation because you didn't do jack. By the way, I forgot to ask what the name of the onboarding was. Probably Jack, and then I would have been a genius, you know? All right, Robert. Yo, yes, Robert. Yo.
Yes. I have a neighbor whose tree is interfering with my cable TV and internet. Right now I have no cable TV or internet.
Ooh, and, okay.
And my cable TV technician came and told me the tree has to be trimmed to replace the line. And my neighbor, that's not his problem.
That's what he says. And it's on his property, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. You can make it his problem. And you can. Is there an end around, incidentally? If they don't go through his yard and through his trees, is there a way around that? And it doesn't matter how much it costs. The only physical way is through his property.
Yes. Yes. The technician told me he cannot run it diagonal. It has to go through his property and then over to my house.
Huh. Okay, that's an interesting one. It's akin to disrupting your view when you have a view lot and someone builds in front of you. And unless there's a law, they pretty well can do it. But I think I think that you can force the issue. And then the problem is I'm trying to figure out how to do this without you spending chunks of money. That's the problem. And that is, frankly, a court order saying you have to let them do it. How close to your property is the tree?
About a foot. It's about 1 foot. It's right next to my block wall on his side of the property.
How healthy is the tree?
Pretty healthy.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Could the tree be unhealthy at some point?
I don't think so.
Okay. You have any background as a carpenter?
No.
No, that's a problem.
Part of the tree comes into my yard. Can I trim that?
Oh, yeah. Anything that comes into your yard, you can trim.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what. As you try, okay, this is it. I was hoping that you had hammers and nails and rat poison or whatever, but you can't go there. I understand that. And frankly, you're instead of saying yeah, that's a great idea, Bill, you're stopping me at every point. Here is practically what I'm saying, and don't take my advice. This is what I would do, and that is certainly everything on your side can be trimmed, and if you go overboard and trim more than your side, what's he going to do? Sue you?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, literally, you took 3 feet of the trees on my property. Okay. How much is that worth? $28,000 for 5 branches. And then the issue becomes, if they don't let you bring the cable, is it the same company, the same cable company that supplies his cable?
I don't know who he has, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Yeah.
There's several cables.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you can trim. You're allowed to trim, on your property line all the way up. What a mess.
I cannot force him to help me with the payment to trim.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure can. Not only force him, you can sue him in small claims court for the cost. Not to help you, to pay for it.
Okay. So
you just demand that he removes those branches, and you talk about you talk about how he's blocking the cable. What an ass. Can you imagine? This is your neighbor. All right, come on. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI. AM 640.
Because I'm celebrating.
And good morning. Handle here. It is a Saturday morning, right up until 11 o'clock. Back we go with more Handle on the Law. Lee, you're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Thank you, Bill. My short question is, I already have a case. Can I renegotiate the terms of the deal I have with my attorney based on the fact that I feel misled and a very, very poor job that they're doing?
Okay, well, a couple of questions. Can you negotiate with your attorney? You can always negotiate with an attorney, especially if you're going to walk out the door and take the case with you. If it's a decent case, the attorney may very well turn around and go, okay. So tell me what the attorney is doing wrong, and if you have any value to the case, and I have no idea. Is it a personal injury case?
Yes, it's a work-related personal injury case. I always knew it was a slam dunk. There's no question of fault. And when I was shopping around for attorneys in the beginning, probably 80% of my decision was based on numbers. And so I negotiated with them very heavily to get a lower percentage. And they said, well, 33% is what it is. It's never going to go any lower because, and they gave me their sales pitch and convinced me that it was worth it. And then now that everything's coming down, it turns out that 33 turns into 40% after filing or something.
Yeah, and you have to read the retainer. And that's not unusual, by the way. That's the way retainer agreements are written. So you got no break whatsoever. Fair enough. Now, you think
I feel like it's an adversarial position. I feel like my attorney, there should be a trust and a friendship relationship.
Yeah, all right. So why don't you do this? Why don't you fire the attorney? Where are you in the case?
Well, the deposition's been taken. They presented an offer, and even the numbers, the way it works, they never made anything clear. So it turns out that they take 40% off the top, then I got to pay all the medical, and then I get whatever's left over, and they probably end up making more, and they haven't done anything.
What do you mean they haven't done anything? They weren't there at depositions. They didn't file anything. They didn't make any demands. They didn't work with the other side.
Out of six key things that I understand lawyers' responsibility is, all I see them do is prepare and file legal docs. And it's a slam dunk. And everything they do is like a template. And there's been five different attorneys on my case.
All right. You went to the wrong lawyer, clearly. So here are your choices. You fire the lawyer and have a new lawyer figure it out. That's what I would do at this point. You go to another personal injury attorney. You can go to handleonthelaw.com. Explain the situation, because what will happen is that a newly hired lawyer negotiates with fired lawyer, and then they fight it back and forth as to how much money. Because in the end, believe me, your lawyer is going to accept more money because the new lawyer is going to be negotiating with him. You're clearly a horrible negotiator. You're clearly a wuss and a panty waste by taking it. All right, so you did everything wrong. By the way, does your wife abuse you?
No, I'm single.
Oh, well, wait till you get married and your wife abuses you. So anyway, talk to a new lawyer because there are some issues there. How much is this case worth, by the way? Do you have an offer?
They're presented $400,000.
Okay, so you got some money there. Okay, go to handleonthelaw.com. And at least talk to a PI lawyer or two. I mean, there's some good ones. Just explain your situation and say, can you help me?
Okay,
that's not going to cost you anything.
Right.
Consultation isn't going to cost you anything. And, I wish that, these are one of the cases where, why didn't you call me first? I have some doubts with lawyers. Oh, here's what you do to negotiate. If it's a good case, well, we want 33%. Well, how about this? 25% or I'm walking out that door. Okay. And if it's a real good case, as the lawyers say, I'd rather have nothing than 25%. There's a lot of ways of negotiating with lawyers. Now, let me tell you about a text message scam that's claiming to give away a free year of Netflix. And if you get this, don't respond. Don't click onto the link. It's a scammer trying to get you to log on to a fake website and then steal your personal information, your credit card number. I mean, all of it. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet. And what can you do to protect yourself? Well, there's credit monitoring, but that doesn't even come close to the kind of protection that I believe you need. LifeLock does. I'm a customer. I'm a fan. I've been with them for over, 10 years, 11 years now. What LifeLock does is help detect a wide range of identity threats, like your Social Security number for sale on the dark web, the hidden part of the internet where bad guys buy and sell your information. See, before LifeLock, I didn't even know that existed. And if LifeLock detects your information has potentially been compromised, they send you an alert. You shut it down immediately. Now, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor every transaction in every business. But LifeLock, this is serious theft protection. 25% off your first year by using promo code HANDLE. That's up to 25% off. Call 800-LIFELOCK, promo code HANDLE, or visit LifeLock.com, promo code HANDLE. This is Handle on the Law. And good morning, Bill Handle here. It is a Saturday. We continue on with more Handle on the Law. Marginal legal advice. Yo, Tom. Hello, Tom.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, a year ago, my son got a divorce, paying child support and all that stuff. 2 weeks ago, out of the blue, she calls him up and says she can't do this anymore and brings a little boy, a five-year-old, over to my son's house with some clothes. She notified the child support people to take the garnishment off his wages, which he got notified at work. Does child support notify the court that there's been a custody change, or does he need to go down to the court and file a paper?
I would do that, because she can always change her mind and tomorrow afternoon walk into your son's place and go, I want our child back for half of the time. Yeah. And if she's willing to sign off, you go into court get the court to accept it. Now, that doesn't mean that she can't go back in at some point and grab custody or try to get joint custody, which is probably the most she's ever going to get. But it's a lot harder than her just showing up and say, you have my child and I want my child half the time. Yeah, I would do that. Now, does it matter? In the end, it might not. But I think it's a really good idea. It gives them a safety net, which I think is, yeah, that's important. Michelle. Hello, Michelle.
Hello. My question is, I've been in a condo for 2 years. It's been uninhabitable. No heat, broken mirror of a closet, et cetera, all this other stuff. I had a leak from the HOA was responsible. In my lease, it states that my landlord is to pay to put me up somewhere. I've had mold in there. I had to leave. It's been 4 months. I've only paid half rent. Now I am leaving, and he wants to charge me $10,000.
Okay, and what's your question? No.
My question is, should I take him to small claims court?
No, there's nothing. No, there's nothing for you. No, there's nothing for you to take him. He doesn't owe you money. The situation is that you owe him money. And if you're taking him for an uninhabitable place and mold, et cetera, that is a lawsuit that is well beyond small claims. And that's a lawsuit where you have to prove medical issues. No, just tell him to stuff it. You're done. And sue him for the relocation fees. Well, he's not throwing you out. You know what? I think he is. He's constructively throwing you out. Yeah. What city are you in?
I'm in Huntington Beach.
I don't know if I don't think it's rent stabilization there. But you know what? Call the city attorney of Huntington Beach, and say, here's my situation. Are there any municipal laws that attach to this situation? That's for starters. Just move out. Don't pay him a dime. Say, hey, I'll see you in court. And by the way, you counterclaim. You then do sue him for $10,000 based on uninhabitability, based on all the hassles you went through. Just countersue.
Okay, and when I moved in, everything, I wrote down everything that he needed to fix. So I do have proof by video, pictures, writing.
And how long were you there? How long were you there?
Stupidly, 2 years.
Oh, yeah, that's stupid. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, make sure you put that in your lawsuit that you're stupid. That way the judge just accepts it and understands. John, hello, John.
Bill, I've got a question for you. 3 years ago, I went to my bank to add money to my wife's IRA account. They processed it. It was $11,000. It was the year before and the year present. 3 years fast forward, late December 2020, I found out that I was not supposed to add that money. So I had to take that money out. But now they are reporting that to the IRS. Saying that I guess I was illegally put in there. Is there, and it's not my fault because.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So is it, you know, the penalty is 20%.
Yeah, no, it's pretty healthy. Okay, so the issue is now between you and the IRS. It's no longer between you and the bank. And what you want to do is get the IRS accepting the fact that the bank is responsible. And therefore, you're not responsible for the 20%. So it's time to talk to an accountant.
Okay.
And see where you...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So do I wait until next year when I get the 1099-R, or is that something I can do now?
I don't think you do it now. I think you wait till the 1099. They may not even give you the 1099. Okay. Who knows? They may already accept the fact that they're at fault.
Well, what I did was I did go to the bank. I talked to the manager, and I told him everything. I said, hey, you guys processed it. It had nothing to do with me. You asked me questions. We gave you answers, and you still processed it. So the bank manager was like, well, if it's our fault, we'll take it. But, you know, we'll do some investigations on it. So I said, fine. But if the situation arises where I need to pay 20%, I told the manager, I said, well, I'll come back and I'll...
It's when you file the taxes. You worry about it when you file the taxes, and you have to wait until you get a statement from the bank, And that's when you would deal with it. But I still would talk to an accountant because there may be a preemptive move that you should take. Nathan, hello, Nathan. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hi, Bill. Can I hold a children's group home legally responsible about lying or for lying to both me and the sheriff about a critical detail in a runaway?
All right, tell me what happened.
Okay, my daughter ran away on the Tuesday, the 16th. They told me that they checked in on her and spoke with her at 6:20. She went missing like at least three hours earlier.
All right, and they found her?
Yes.
Okay, so there's no harm, no foul at this point, correct?
No. My daughter is physically healthy, but the group home lied to both.
No, I understand. So let me ask you: when you say I want to hold them responsible, and I get that they clearly are negligent. What are you looking for?
I just want them shut down. They don't get to take care of kids anymore.
All right, now they're okay, and there here is the way you want to do this. There are complaints that can be made. These are regulated. These group homes are licensed. You find out the regulatory agency. I don't know the California Board of Group Homes where 16-year-olds run away. I have no idea what the name of the organizations are. The regulatory agency.
Yeah, it's San Bernardino County.
And then you just file a formal complaint. Now, are they going to shut down the home for that? Probably not. They'll get a reprimand, for sure. You know, bad people, you shouldn't have done that. But, for example, who at the group home did that?
It was the attending person. And when we got out there, I drove 150 miles an hour all the way out there.
Okay, the attending person did it, right? And you want...
They lied to cover their butt, basically.
I understand, but you have the attending person who's an employee who committed malfeasance, and now you want the place shut down because they screwed up. Yeah, that's like a hospital where a doctor is negligent, and then you go in and ask that the hospital be shut down because one doctor committed malpractice.
Yeah, I see your logic.
Yeah, not going to happen. Not going to happen. But complain. I mean, that doesn't stop you from complaining. Hey, before we take a break, I want to point something out. At the end of the hour, I'm still going to take phone calls. So if you're on hold, stay put. Because I'll answer all of your phone calls off the air. So don't worry about that. And we still have some lines open. So don't worry about the end of the show coming up and you not getting your questions answered. 800-520-1534. 800-520-1534. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk.
Welcome back. Bill Handel here. And this is KFI right till the end of the hour. If you're still on the phone, hang loose because I will continue answering phone calls off the air until we're done. And you can also call in as the hour ends, and if we have lines open, great. And you can just wait a few minutes because I go through these very quickly. All right, back we go. More Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice. Hello, Carmen.
Hi there. I'm calling because I live in a 55 plus community in Orange County, and a tenant moved in over the summer. The son visits the mother who has a pit bull. The lease states that breed restrictions, no pit bulls, not only within the apartment, but as on the premise, per se. And so there have been problems with the pit bull not being on a leash, and pit bulls, and the pit bull lives down the hallway from where I reside. Complaints have been made to the front office. The front office isn't doing anything. The pit bull recently rode down the elevator with the owner of the dog. It's a kid, maybe in his 20s, and because a pit bull wasn't on a leash, attacked a neighbor's tenant downstairs, ready to lunge for the little dog, and the owner had to literally jump onto the floor to rescue his dog.
Okay.
And so now the story is the kid who visits his mother says, oh, that's my therapy dog. to nip it in a bud. I don't buy it. I think, right. And I think there's something else that's not kosher going on, but it says within the lease, no breeds. I don't buy it's a therapy dog. And so what do I do? Because I'm scared because whenever the dog walks by, I'm afraid the dog's going to bite me or other tenants and people.
Sure. Well, you don't want to wait for the dog to eat one of the grandkids because that's going a little bit far. What I would do is let management know they have been warned about this dog, that it has already attacked another dog. It snarls. And in the event that anybody is hurt, you, management company, are put on notice that you will be liable. And it's really important that you say you are now put on notice. Put that in writing. And then if they say it is a therapy dog, any dog can be a therapy dog. You can bring in a rhinoceros and say it's a therapy animal. It has to be a service dog. Big difference between a therapy dog and a service dog.
And because what had happened was yesterday, I don't mean to interrupt, that the kid who owns a dog told the front office that, he has a letter from his doctor saying that this is his therapy dog.
It doesn't matter. He can have all the letters he wants. You tell the office this is not a service dog. And they're held responsible. Just say if someone is badly hurt, you are going to be held responsible.
All right.
It's that simple. And you want to get aggressive about that. You want to get as many people as you can to join in on the letter.
Right. No, there's other people who
then you
the
do that. Then a whole
front office.
Then a whole group of you get together and sign off on the letter and let the management company know in no uncertain terms a lawsuit is going to fly instantly against them for breaching their own procedures and accepting someone just saying it's a therapy dog with doctor's note. That is not a service dog. Because you could actually bring in a killer animal. So that's my service dog. I mean, that's my therapy dog. Well, how do you get therapy? Well, it eats other dogs. That's the therapy that we find. No, it really doesn't work that way. Here we go. Ed. Hello, Ed. You're up. Welcome.
Hello, Bill. Last November, after 27 years of searching, my biological daughter found me. And I went and spent 2 weeks with him at Thanksgiving. Had a wonderful time. She had a question, though. She wanted to know, if possible, to take her stepfather off of her birth certificate and put my name on there.
Okay, did stepdad formally adopt her?
Not sure.
Okay, that is a big issue. If stepdad adopted her, it gets more problematic. If stepdad did not, then I think she has a much easier chance. I think it can be done under any circumstances, but... I would call a family law attorney, actually an adoption attorney, and they're out there. I mean, there are plenty of lawyers that specialize in adoption, and this is not the first time that question has been raised. And give it a shot. And I understand how important psychologically that is, because frankly, I mean, legally, does it matter? No. I mean, come on, 27 years ago, another name on a birth certificate. I mean, I've never looked at the birth certificate, my kid's birth certificate. I've never seen it. I'm assuming my name is on it. Maybe it's not. Maybe they're not my kids. Maybe I can get out of it. Maybe I don't have to pay support. Maybe I don't have to help him anymore. Okay, before we bail, a quick one. For those of you that are on the phone, stay put. I will continue to answer the phone calls off the air. Also, if you have a question and you want to dial in and it's busy, just hang on for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and call again, because I go through these calls very quickly. We don't have commercials. I don't have to do intros. I just go right through the phone calls. So feel free. 800-520-1534. This is...
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Handle on the law.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then
then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.